Wednesday the 2nd of April, Kosov Ador Base, Rabbi Rashi Simon. A Kohen to treat leprosy, why we'll never get it on the NHS.
good morning. As always, it's a pleasure to be here on the Torah Way. I'd like to, with your permission, to dedicate this year this morning to the memory of Mr. Bensi Dunner, who doubtless was well known to many of us. Yidid Nafshi, a Chavrusa Shali, Bensir Halevi Dunner, Hai Gavra Rabba the Akira, Osef Etzache, Sibur Benunah Nifla. About him, we can apply the words in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dach Beches Ezehu Ben Olam Haba, Andasa Mishfal Berach, Shaif Ayel, Shaif Anafik, the Goris, Baraisa Tadira, Vulamaxi, Tivusa Lanafshe. Our subject is the somewhat whimsical title, A Kohen to Treat Leprosy, Why We'll Never Get It on the NHS. As you know, the Parsha deals extensively with the phenomenon of the Mitzora. The Torah doesn't tell us explicitly how a person would become a Mitzora, why he may become a Mitzora. We have a detailed description of the treatment, so to speak, for such a person. But as is well known, according to our tradition, the phenomenon, the condition which the Torah calls Tzaras, is a physical manifestation of a spiritual failing. In other words, a person becomes ill with that particular condition and must undergo the process of purification, which can involve isolation and other unpleasantries, as a consequence of some failing, of some shortcoming in his character. In brief, it's a punishment. And that's why it's Bagad Yeshev, Mechutz Lamachane Moshavo. He has to dwell in isolation because his behavior, his conduct, was associated with the breakdown in relations among people. He distanced people one from another, and therefore he himself is distanced. I heard just last night from Roshama Freshwater, Shlita, I think in the name of one of his forebears, the Baba for Rebbes, that this person, this individual who spoke Lashon Hara, perhaps he wasn't malicious, perhaps he wasn't just maligning people in a completely unforgivable manner, in the sense that, like many others, he sought some justification for his behavior, and perhaps he thought that he was bringing to wider attention the shortcomings of other people in order to suggest how they need to improve, or some self-serving motive of this sort. He saw too many other people and all of their failings, so therefore his punishment is to be isolated, to be quarantined, so he won't see other people, and he'll have opportunity only to contemplate his own shortcomings. However, this principle of the Mitzora, who is, so to speak, guilty of his own transgressions and has brought his condition upon himself, I would suggest is theologically challenging. The implication here is that any misfortune, including medical conditions or any other undesired circumstance, is the consequence of divine providence and derives from a person's own failings, a person's own shortcomings. And if that's the case, I think it begs the question, does it mean that anyone who is ill, anyone for whom life does not go quite his way, is guilty of some transgression, of some failing, of some wrongdoing? And yet that seems to be what the Torah tells us. The idea of Mida Keneged Mida, the idea that somehow his circumstances are of his own creation. There's a very important Gemara, it's really a mission at the end of Sota. It's quite well known, and I would suggest it can serve as the basis for our approach to this difficult subject. The phenomenon of the Sota we'll see later, the Ramban explains, is a miraculous intervention. It is a means of establishing guilt or innocence through miraculous channels. And this system, it appears, was in place for a long, long time, but the mission itself reports that at a certain juncture it fell into disuetude. The mission says, "Mishirabo haratz chanim batla egla arufa," that the Sota system broke down after a while. And the mission mentions some parallels, that when homicide became commonplace, batla egla arufa. The egla arufa, you will recall, was a method of identifying the aggressor in the case of an unsolved murderer, an unsolved murder. Whether Agatha Christie has ever tried it is questionable, but it is described in the Torah in some detail. There's much written about it in the rabbinic literature. It was a very remarkable, again, miraculous means of identifying who is the murderer in the case of a victim who was found in the field between two cities. But the system broke down. Once murder became commonplace, batla egla rufa. The Mishnah goes on to say, Misharabu haminafim, pasko hamayim hamarim. And in a similar way, the Sota system broke down as well. When marital infidelity, instead of being a rare aberration, became commonplace, the system broke down. And the whole Sota ordeal had to be abandoned. It was no longer working. And the Mishnah explains why. And the Mishnah goes on to give a few other examples of other things which came to an end because of certain developments. What does this have to do with our subject? We read in the Shema, the second paragraph of the Shema, Hayam Shema Tishma'u, if we hearken to the words, then things will go well with us. Rain will fall in its proper season, the animals will flourish, the people will flourish, the land will be prosperous and tranquil. Great. Goes on to say, that's the good news, but there's bad news as well, because if you abandon the words of Hashem, if we abandon the Torah, we'll be driven from our land and all tragedy will ensue. In other words, we say daily, twice daily, the idea, we affirm our belief in the relationship between the behavior of the Jewish people and the success and the security and the prosperity and the peace that will reign among us. The problem is that this system that when we are worthy and we are deserving, then we enjoy the benefits of that faithfulness, of that relationship with Hashem, only works so long as we as a nation are faithful within that relationship. But already at a very early stage, we find the beginnings of the breakdown of that system. Already at the time of the Chet Eitz Hadas, so the klala to Adam was that you will plant, you will seek to cultivate the ground, the kotz v'dai dar tatsmiach lach. You'll plant a mango and bananas and all kinds of fantastic things that you enjoy, but you're going to get thorns and thistles. I'd like to put it in the most pithy way that I can. When man is faithful to God, nature is faithful to man. When man is faithful to God, nature is faithful to man. Nature will become the servant of man through his service of Hashem. But if we stray from that path, if we betray that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we cannot expect nature to conform to our desires anymore either. And this is what the Torah says, as we mentioned, V'hayam Shema Tishmu, if the Jewish people as a whole are faithful, then nature will respond to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With this we can understand a very striking Gemara, which has been variously interpreted. The Gemara says, "In Quranus ba la'olam el bishvil Yisrael," a passage which would appear to give some credence to the words of our critics and our enemies, of whom there have been many throughout our history, Ein Puranas ba la'olam. Misfortune comes to the world only because of Israel. Shenema, the Gemara Yevamos, Daf Samach Gimel, quotes a pasuk. Yichrati goyim nishamu pinosam, hecherat yichatzosam, chutzosam. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us that, pasuk in Sefania, that I have destroyed the nations, I have brought misfortune and devastation upon the nations. Uksiv amarti ach tir'io si tikhu musa. It's all in order to rebuke the Jewish people. It's all so that Klal Yisrael will derive some warning. We'll get a message. We'll get the point. That's why the misfortune comes to the nations of the world. But some of the Mefarshim say a little bit differently. In other words, the Gemara seems that the Parsha Pshat in the Gemara is that Kadosh Baruch Hu will punish Umos HaOlam in order to rebuke, in order to warn, or maybe to inspire Klal Yisrael. The problem is that this would appear to completely exonerate them from any responsibility. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes people and nations in accordance with their deeds. It's very difficult to imagine that all the misfortune in the world, really they don't deserve it. Really they should be happy and prosperous and peaceful. But in order to give a lesson to Klal Yisrael, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about devastation to the world. I think it's a little bit simplistic to see it only in those terms. One of the Mefarshim in Ein Yaakov, the Anaf Yosef, says as follows: Haklal b'zeki kasher Yisrael yetivu ma'aseihem. When Klal Yisrael is worthy, as gormim nachatzuach l'mishama v'haya ha'olam, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, pleased. HaKadosh Baruch Hu barachem ha'mashbiya umori l'olam kol mi'i brachos v'yishua v'shefa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats the world with blessing, with sympathy, with the bounty of which nature is capable. V'zeu she'amru she'ein tova ba'al ha'olam ela b'shvil Yisrael. That's what they say, that beneficence comes to the world because of Klal Yisrael. U'lehefech chas v'shalom. But of course the converse is true as well. She'sal einam osim ritzem v'shal makom. If Klal Yisrael is not faithful, then the consequences are worldwide. In other words, when the Gemara says "Ein Kadosh Baruch Hu Olam Ela B'Shvil Yisrael," there is some truth to the allegation of our detractors that we are responsible. You know the story in the 1930s when Hitler, Yimach Shemo, was ranting in one of his political gatherings, and he said, who's responsible for all of our problems? Who's responsible for the hyperinflation? Who's responsible for the humiliation of Germany and the Treaty of Versailles? Somebody stands up in the back and says, the Eskimos. So he says, the Eskimos. Why the Eskimos? So the fellow says, why the Jews? But according to this, there is some truth to it. Because if we were worthy, if we were faithful in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we kept the Torah as we should, the whole world would benefit. The fact that there are misfortunes in the world, the fact that there is natural devastation, the fact that there are natural disasters, is a consequence of the fact that nature is no longer faithful to man because man is not faithful to God. What implications does this have for the question of Tzaras? Let me give you a parable. Imagine a child who has an exam in school and he hasn't studied for it, and he's trying to think how can he find some way to get out of taking this exam. So he decides to tell his teacher, you know, I've got a terrible headache, I think I need to go to the nurse. I don't know if they have school nurses around here. They had, in my day they used to have them. So the teacher says, okay, go to the nurse. She says, I think I have a fever. She says, okay, go to the nurse. So he goes to the school nurse, and she's talking on the phone, busy with papers and things. So she gives him a thermometer. She says that, you know, put this thermometer in your mouth, then we'll take a look at it. Anyway, the boy is sitting over here near the windows next to the radiator. So the nurse is distracted. He takes the thermometer out of his mouth, and he puts it next to the radiator. Because he's got no fever, but he needs to somehow, show that he does. Put it next to the radiator. Well, if he leaves it by the radiator too long, what's going to happen? The mercury is going to expand to the point. It only goes up to about 106, 107 degrees Fahrenheit. Can't go any higher than that. If he leaves it there too long, it breaks. and then it doesn't record any temperature, and then it's useless. That's what the Mishnah in Sotah is telling us. That as long as our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is within certain acceptable parameters, someone whose behavior is such that he deserves tzaraas as a reminder, as a gentle guide to return to the right path, then he will get that. Because Klal Yisrael as a whole is worthy. And nature is like a barometer of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that only works as long as, on the whole, that relationship is one of faithfulness, is one of devotion. But after a while, we've broken the thermometer. And therefore, we no longer have that reliable measure. We no longer have that causal relationship between behavior and illness, as the case may be. This is the meaning of what the Mishnah says, Mishurabu Hamanafim, Mishurabu Harutzchim, and the same thing, I believe, is to be applied to the phenomenon of Tzaraas as well. We have a beautiful Lashon of the Ramban in his comments here in Parshas Tazria. Perak Yud Gimel Pasuk Mem Zayin. He says, "Ze'enenu b'teva klal v'lahava ba'olam." This is something which is not a natural phenomenon. He's speaking here about a nega for a garment or for a house. I mean, tzaraas, as you know, is not exactly leprosy anyway, but it has something in common with what's called Hansen's disease, which is leprosy. It has some common features, but houses and garments have never been afflicted with leprosy. In the natural order of things, says the Ramban, "Ze'enenu b'teva klal v'lahava ba'olam." And similarly, the tzaraas for a house. But when Klal Yisrael is wholehearted in their relationship with Hashem, Yeruach Hashem aleim tamid lahami gufam uvigdehim uvateim b'maret tov. But when we are faithful in that relation with Hashem, then for the most part, our homes and our clothing and our bodies are complete and are functioning properly. The kasher yikred the echad mehem chet v'avon. When in one unusual occasion someone is guilty of a transgression, yishave kiwa b'vesaro b'vigdo b'veso laharos ki Hashem sar me'alav, in order to show that Hashem has withdrawn his hashkaf, his attention from that person. Then he goes on to say this only happens in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't happen in other parts of the world, and only happens in Bizman HaShlemus. There's not because it's totally ba'aretz. It's not because that inherently this is a mitzvah which is limited to Eretz Yisrael. He says the phenomenon is limited to Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't ever happen anyplace else. Asher Hashem Nechvad Shochem Nesochah. He says the same thing by the mitzvah of Sota as well, in Parshas Noso. And if you only remember one thing from your studies of Ramban, this is a useful thing to remember, because Ramban says it, as we've just seen in Parshas Tazria. He says the same thing in Parshas Noso, and we'll see in a moment he says the same thing in Parshas Bukukosai as well. In Parshas Noso, regarding the ordeal of the mitzvah, the trial by water, so, I'm sorry. Sota. What did I say? In the Parshas Noso by the Sota, so the Torah says the Ramban explains in a similar vein that this is the only mitzvah, he says, which is tolui in a nes. It's a shtickel kasha really, because he just said about nige batim as well, but that's also a kind of supernatural phenomenon. But okay, he says, "V'hina ein b'chol mishpatei Torah davar tolui b'nei zulasi ha'in hazeh shehu pela v'nei kavua shi'aseh bi'Yisrael Yosem Rubam Osim Ritzono Shel Makom. When generally speaking, all of Klal Yisrael Osim Ritzono Shel Makom, Kichafet Leman Tzidko, because it is a means of restoring the relationship between a husband and a wife. Liyaser Hanashim Shelo Tasena Kazimas Yetzer Ha'amin. And he goes on to say, and if you remember just these words, then you will have derived at least something from the Shir this morning. He says, V'haklav shehu neis v'kavod liYisrael. The Rabban says, the phenomenon of the Sotah is neis v'kavod liYisrael. It reflects that special relationship which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with his people, in which he intervenes in ways which are even supernatural to absolve an innocent woman from suspicion, if indeed she is innocent, or conversely, to punish and therefore serve doubtless as a warning to someone who may be guilty. V'haklal shehu neis v'kavod liYisrael. The same is doubtless true for Tzaras, and the Ramban says something essentially the same in Parsha B'chukosai. As you know, the whole Parsha B'chukosai, much of the Parsha B'chukosai deals with the Tochacha, and the Ramban there develops in a lengthy and fascinating comment the idea that illness itself is a result of the breakdown in the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. However, it only has that meaning when, on the whole, Klal Yisrael is worthy and is faithful within our relationship. He says, "Umach chelik lerof in the vase osei ritzon Hashem, in the home of those who are faithful to the dictates of HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Why do you need doctors? Dr. Harris out of business. But we don't need doctors in the home of those who are faithful to God. What do you need doctors for? And then he continues, a door which is not open to mitzvahs is going to have to open to let the doctor in. They used to make house calls once upon a time. The problem is that people have sought out the intervention of doctors. So Hashem said, "You want doctors? Okay, you got doctors. I'll give you lots of doctors." And so it is. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds the behavior of people favorable, when the behavior of people finds favor in the eyes of Hashem, ain lo esek barofim, then we have no need for doctors. But the Ramban explains that this is only in the good old days. This is only when Klal Yisrael is worthy, when that relationship reflects, when physical well-being or physical illness, lo aleinu, is a reflection of the behavior and the relationship of that Shem and HaKadosh, of that person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that is only true when, on the whole, the Jewish people are worthy. But as the Mishnah says in Sota, that when the system breaks down, it no longer operates. The thermometer no longer works because we have ruined it. And this is why we'll never get a Kohen for leprosy on the NHS. Because that system is going to be restored. Bizman HaShemus, as the Ramban said, at the time when Klal Yisrael, Emes HaShem, is restored to their land, and we as a nation have restored and rehabilitated and reconstructed our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, then hopefully we can look forward to the restoration of the system of the Mitzorah, and Emes HaShem, it will be a great rarity. And when it happens, we'll get a Kohen. I'm sure we have some worthy Kohanim here. We'll get the Kohen involved. We'll pension off Dr. Harris, and they can go back to learning full time, and we won't have the need for those unfortunate and inexplicable and challenging tragedies that happen within Klal Yisrael, indeed within the world. And Emir Hashem, therefore, we can look forward finally to the restoration of Klal Yisrael to its land. We'll never get it on the NHS, but we won't need the NHS at all at that time.